time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each of those sleep.
Hello and welcome to the Enlightened Medicine Show with Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the holographic physician. My special guest tonight is David Miller. And any of you guys who are familiar with Arcturians and the whole Arcturian ascension process and all that kind of stuff, you're going to find this fascinating. And I'm rubbing my hands together with glee at this. So, David, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Dr. Valerie. I'm happy to be here.
Yes.
And if I may just tell your listeners a little bit about myself.
Yes, please.
I'm a trance channel, and I'm also a psychic. And I've been working with the Arcturian energies for about 14 years now. And basically, I'm trying to bring through information and new spiritual technology from the fifth dimension, and particularly from the Arcturians. So I have been doing workshops, writing books, and doing personal sessions for people now, trying to bring forth this message that they have given me.
Awesome. Yeah, I looked at your website. Let's give your website really quick so people can be looking at that. So go ahead and give that if you would.
Well, the website is CyberTrails, CyberTrails, CyberTrails.com /Group of 40. That's GROUPOFFORTY, Group of 40. And basically, it is based on the concept of developing an Arcturian meditation group of 40 people. And originally, we started out with 40 people, and then the message was that I was to get 40 groups of 40 and of Arcturian star seeds around the world, and that we would be meditating together to bring down fifth-dimensional energy onto the Earth to help transform the Earth. And currently we have almost 1,200 members worldwide. Mm-hmm. There are many different countries, including Argentina, Costa Rica, and Brazil, Puerto Rico, Australia, Germany. We now have a member in Norway, Canada, and many people in Mexico, and, of course, in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have a couple questions about all this. But first, before we go any further, let me tell people that I don't have a computer hookup where I am right now. So if you're fast blasting, I'm sorry, I'm going to miss your fast blast. Maybe Seth can keep an eye on that. So you may have to call in with your questions. And yes, you may call in. And you guys know the numbers. You're looking at them at your computers. Okay, so my first question, David, is how does one know if one is an Arcturian starseed?
Well, basically, it's if you listen to the teachings and listen to the information, then you begin to resonate with it. And the basic teaching that is coming through me is based on this Arcturian concept that is called the Sacred Triangle.
Mm-hmm.
And they are trying to transmit what I call new spiritual technology. And the new spiritual technology includes concepts of bilocation, thought projections, and also the use of downloading etheric crystals to bring forth new information and dimensional energy.
Hmm.
Now, if I may just spend a little bit of time talking about the Sacred Triangle, because
please,
this is one of the main messages and information that has come through.
Okay.
They feel that we need a new spiritual paradigm to transform this Earth. And they've divided the paradigm into three sections or three sides of a triangle. The first side is the Native American or Native peoples around the Earth. And basically it is because the Native peoples really understand the Earth and how to work with the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
But they are not powerful enough. The Native peoples on the Earth are not powerful enough to transform the Earth. The second side is what we call the mystical religious side, which includes the mystical side of most of the religions, because when you get into the higher vibrational energy of most religions, they are very similar and they teach unity, cosmic consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
But the third side is what they call galactic spirituality. And that's where the star family and the star seeds come in, because quite frankly, we do not have what it takes to transform this Earth and to save this Earth without the help of the galactic beings, without the help of fifth-dimensional masters, without the help of the star masters, which include the Arcturians, the Pleiadians, and others.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a new technology. So it is the integration of this that is the paradigm called the Sacred Triangle.
Okay. So people could go to your website and read up on this, correct?
Yeah, there's information on the website. I have several books out on it. And I think it's important to understand that when we're talking about trans-channeling, that we're talking about working with fifth-dimensional beings.
Mm-hmm.
And as a trans-channel, I only connect with higher beings. I'm not interested in third- or fourth-dimensional beings.
Sure.
And the idea is that these higher beings are trying to telepathically work with us, but they do not want to incarnate. They do not want to take on our karma.
Well, you can't blame them for that.
No, especially with the density that's going on here. So, but they can interact with us.
Uh-huh.
And this interaction then gives us the opportunity to find new information. Now, I think a lot of Mozart, because Mozart was, I believe, a trans-channel, and he was receiving information from the higher realms on music.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we all are able to connect with the higher realms. And the star seeds, you know, feel the vibration of the Arcturians.
Mm.
And for those of your listeners, I do want to mention that Arcturus is, one of the main stars in the night sky, and it is in alignment with the Big Dipper, if you follow the handle of the Big Dipper. And I think it's approximately 45 to 50 light years away, which is relatively close.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, we're talking about a system that's in the fifth dimension. It's not a third-dimensional system. It's a fifth-dimensional system, which is interactive. And by that, I wanted to say that I look at the dimensions this way. The third dimension is the dimension we're on now. The fourth dimension is what I call the astral realm, and it also includes the lower, middle, and upper astral realm, but all of the energy and all of the spirits who are going to come back and reincarnate.
Mm-hmm.
So when you die, if you go to the fourth dimension, you're still in the Earth's incarnational cycle.
Mm-hmm.
The fifth dimension, where you are freed from the Earth's incarnational cycle, you do not have to come back, and you are free to go to your home planet or go to other planetary systems.
Mm-hmm. Boy, I got a lot of questions bouncing around in my head right now. I don't even know where to start. So listen.
Well, while you're thinking, let me just throw one other real important concept out,
uh-huh.
which has been one of the main focuses of the Arcturian work that I've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the concept of biorelativity,
mm-hmm.
which biorelativity is a fancy word, but it's describing the ability to interact with the planet based on telepathic communications.
Mm-hmm.
And telepathic communications includes prayers, ceremonies, and chanting, and other methods that are predominantly been used by the native peoples.
Mm-hmm.
The Arcturians have, channeled through me that they have been to many planets and who are at our point
mm-hmm.
of either disintegration or transformation or transcendence.
Mm-hmm.
And the key for the planets that have been successful have been the ability to interact telepathically with the planet.
Mm.
And this interaction is called biorelativity. So, for example, I use the example of a storm, and let's just say that there's this hurricane called Hurricane Flossie, which is going towards the Big Island right now as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you had a group of 10 or 15 people or more and visualizing the radar screen that we all see on the Weather Channel, and, you know, you see this circular gyro going towards the Big Island.
Mm-hmm.
And now we all would focus our minds on that gyro, which represents the hurricane, diverting itself and going a little bit to the right or a little bit to the left, whatever the case may be. I think in this case it would be to the left, missing the island.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm saying is that we, through telepathic communication, can actually divert certain energies that are on this planet now. Now, you know, this actually goes into a grander scale than just one hurricane and one area on the planet,
mm-hmm.
because there is many different areas. And basically, the entire biosphere on our planet is in danger of collapsing
mm-hmm.
for a variety of reasons that I can go into more if you want me to. And but the key, they said, and this is the key of evolution, because we have to evolve,
mm-hmm.
And we're right at the crux of an evolutionary shift. If, say, if you talk about Australopithecus, or say you talk about Homo erectus, or any of the other early primitive men, but there was only Homo sapien that was able to make the leap, whatever that leap was. It had to do with intelligence, it had to do with communication and speech. Well, now we're on the leap, we're on the cusp of an evolutionary change, and only those people who are able to do this shift are going to be able to help this planet survive. And that shift has to do with the ability of biorelativity.
That's really interesting, because I know when Hurricane Rita was going at Louisiana and Texas again, there were a bunch of us that got together on the Internet, and everyone concentrated on having that turn into nothing. And everyone was bracing again for, you know, another terrible hurricane action like Katrina, and it just kind of went and disappeared. And so I understand what you're talking about, because I, you know, I'm in that community also of people that get together with the intent of really averting disasters and helping people and helping the planet. There are quite a few people I know that concentrate on the iron crystal at the center of the Earth and on the magnetic fields and things like that. So this is not an unheard of concept for me or for anybody that listens to BBS Radio, I think. And I'm happy that you're bringing that to the forefront. And what really interests me is that you are channeling communications from the Arcturians. And I have looked at your website, and I've seen a couple of the artwork pieces there. And if you would just describe to the listeners what Arcturians look like, usually, I think they may find that they've seen some of these beings around them.
Well, first of all, let me say that the artwork is done by my wife, Gudrun,
mm-hmm.
and she is a visionary artist,
mm-hmm.
and she has worked with me on this project. And I would be channeling descriptions of what they look like, and then she would be listening and also receiving images.
Mm-hmm.
And so she would receive different images of them. The two images we have are of Helioa and Giuliano, which are the two main Arcturian energies that I'm working with, and they appear kind of like a ballet dancers, very thin, kind of wispy like, and you know, they are wearing rather what you might think of as like leotard suits, and you know, they have rather large eyes and a very delicate, and like I said, almost like ballet looking figures,
mm-hmm.
and they've explained to me that one of the things is, when you go into higher dimensions, you don't need muscle, you don't need muscle mass, you don't need to eat all the foods that we eat, because everything is done with thought.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to move objects or whatever, then there's no need to be like Arnold Schwarzenegger or something
mm-hmm.
like that. So that's why they look that way. And also, they are able to assume different shapes. And people might have referred to the concept of shape shifting,
mm-hmm.
which would be, you know, a shape that they form. The other thing, the other art includes the Stargate, which is a main concept. They are the holders and keepers or guardians of the Stargate. And this actual information came through one of Edgar Cayce's readings
mm.
about the Arcturians. And I don't have the number of the reading now, but I mean, if somebody would look up one of his readings, he did have a paragraph or two in his trance readings about the Arcturians, and he said that they were the highest beings in this section of the galaxy, and they were the guardians of the Stargate. Now, the Stargate is depicted in my wife's art as a transformational, almost like a way station, where upon your departure from the third dimension and going through the fourth dimension to the fifth dimension, you're able to go through this station, and then from there you are helped into another system.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you go through the Stargate, it is you are completing your Earth's incarnational cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Stargate is also helped and controlled by Archangel energy, and if any of your readers have read Jay Hertog's books, they will see references to the Archangel Metatron and the Arcturians. So the Arcturians are working with higher angelic energy, such as Archangel Metatron. And in my trance work and channeling work, I do work with Archangel Metatron, and I do work with some of the sacred Hebrew codes because they are very important in opening up what we call the codes of ascension to help people in this transformational process.
Yeah, that's, as you're talking about this, I'm thinking about what you and I had talked about a little bit earlier, and that my listeners are well aware of the holographic projector room that I have. And as I was mentioning to you, the last couple of weeks before I moved the office, we had what the Arcturians were telling us was the Stargate. And Steve Barish and I were talking about it, and he had jumped into it astrally, and he said, "Oh my God, I'm in a different universe." And the thing that was interesting to me, and I'll have to get this out for people to see, I don't have it on my website yet, but what we found was we were shining a red laser onto a clear jewel on the projector. And what happened on the last thing was we got white and gold. And my friend and assistant came running in and said, "Oh my God, God is in the room. You have to come in there." I said, "God's always in there." And she said, "No, God is manifesting right now. You have to come." I said, "Okay." So I ran in there. And what I saw was this incredible white light that kind of faded into gold on the edges, and what looked like a whole bunch of concentric circles, almost like tubes of gold that had been twisted. And we were led to know that this was actually the closest thing to God that people in the third dimension were going to get to see. And I said, "Wow, that's very interesting." And that one came out of what we have known to be the Arcturian Stargate. We also have an Andromedan one. But that was quite interesting to me. And so I'll have to show you those pictures because I don't know what to call it. I can tell you what people that have looked at it have told me. But the only reason this would be coming through now would be in order to get people to wake up more, which is why I was so excited you agreed to do the show. Because people have to understand that there is so much more to who we are. And it's just so fascinating, David, that these other beings in this higher dimension are reaching down to help us up. So I'm really hoping that the listeners are paying attention and they're going to investigate this a lot more. I'm fascinated by this whole Stargate concept. Can you describe what that looks like that you've seen?
Well, yeah, but let me just make a couple of comments. First of all, that, you know, we mentioned holographic light and holographic energy because the Arcturians have been working, they give me lots of information about holographic energy and holographic light. And it sounds like you might be channeling them through images, and I channel them through words. So I want people to know that as a channel, some people, you know, can do it through different ways. And you know, some of us are gifted in other ways. So some of us are gifted with music. Some of us are gifted with images and technology. And it sounds like that's what you're doing. And then I have been very fortunate to be able to, you know, bring forth their energy through words. Now, the ideas that you're working with these images are very powerful. The concepts of holographic energy are based on the idea that the part represents the whole, but not only that the part represents the whole, but that the part can access the whole. So that if you're breaking down, like your friend said, and saw, well, this is a part of God that we could see, know that at any point in this dimension, we are able to access everything. And the concepts that they have come through have to do with holographic healing, where we still have intact this system, this thought construct of the third dimensional Earth, and we can access not only in the present but in the future time a place where the Earth has transformed, and we could bring that energy into this time. Now, this also includes their work is both personal and planetary. So anyone who comes to work with me in this project understands that we're This is simultaneous. So you're doing your personal healing work and your planetary healing work. And on a personal basis, we have many different incarnations. We have many aspects of our soul. But at this point, we could holographically enter and unify and resolve all of the soul issues that we've had in all of our incarnations so that we could ascend now.
Mm.
And that's why many people are awakening now. That's why many people are interested in the fifth dimension.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also why many of these higher beings like the Arcturians are coming to the Earth, because it is a wonderful opportunity to work with fifth dimensional energy.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of compare it to this idea, which is, let's just say there's an eclipse of the sun, and this year it's in Africa, so all the astronomers run down to Africa to see the eclipse of the sun because they're not going to be able to see it from North America.
Mm-hmm.
Well, once every, say, 26,000 years, or maybe we don't know how often, there is an ascension opportunity on this planet, and the ascension opportunity is now. So that's why many of the higher beings are coming here,
mm-hmm.
to participate in this. And it's why many people have chosen to be reborn into this time, because it's this opportunity. So I guess people have to try to conceive or understand that we don't have every lifetime where we could make gigantic leaps and go into the fifth dimension. Most of our lifetimes are going to be where we just die and then incarnate again on the Earth. But this is a particular time where the dimensions are going to interact or intersect, and we're going to be able to make leaps and be able to ascend.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to answer your question specifically about the Stargate, you know, it is a very powerful energy, and I guess the best way I could describe it is that you cannot go through it until you're totally have cut all the cords of attachment to the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not allowed to go through the Stargate until we're ready. So in other words, you know, our astral cords have to be cut, and then we could we have to be finished. So, but we could approach the vestibule of the Stargate,
mm-hmm.
and in some of the lectures they've sent through me, the door opens. And the light is so powerful that it kind of blinds us, and we have to be protected or covered, because this gets into one of the concepts of how much light, how much energy we could hold.
Mm-hmm.
And in the case where you were working with the light, and your friend said, oh, this is the light of God, so you're able to tolerate this light. But remember that it is also a very high frequency. And the fifth-dimensional frequencies look more beautiful than the third-dimensional frequencies.
Sure.
But there are interesting analogies in some of our mystical spiritual stuff, in particular with the Kabbalah, about handling light and handling too much light, which I could go into if you want. Because
yeah, I think that's an important thing, so please do.
Okay, well, I'm also a student of the Kabbalah, and I'm a student of ancient Hebrew and biblical Hebrew. And in one of the ancient Hebrew texts, they tell the story of the three rabbis who go into the Garden of Eden, and the Garden of Eden is the symbology for the higher level. And they were each given instructions not to look at the light, and one looked at the light anyway and immediately went crazy, and the other one looked at the light and was so awestruck that he totally, you know, surrendered and died. And only the third rabbi realized that he could not look directly in the light, but that in order to bring the light back into the third dimension, you know, that he had to bring it down a little bit so that he could tolerate it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was able to leave the garden and come back and tell this story. Well, they love to discuss this story because it shows that when you go to higher light, then you have to have a transition back to the third dimension,
mm-hmm.
and you also have to be training yourself to work with higher consciousness so that you could hold it rather than, you know, blitz out. And sometimes I found that even in the channeling that I do, some people just actually go to sleep,
mm-hmm.
because they are not used to being in the higher Arcturian energy. So there's certain exercises that we do to, and this includes toning, to raise your vibration so you can be used to the higher frequency. And when you go to the Stargate, then this is going to a very high frequency of light.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not, you know, we're always used to thinking of ourselves in a physical body. and then to go into this kind of energy, you have to be able to, like I say, take off the coat of the physical body temporarily so you can go into a higher state.
That makes sense. And it certainly correlates with what we've been finding, too. Boy, I mean, we've just had so many things going on lately. And as a healer, I can tell you that one of the reasons why I stopped doing hands-on healing a long time ago is I found that yeah, you can heal somebody instantly, but then if they don't have what it requires to hold that higher vibration, then, you know, it's not permanent, and it will only last for a little while. So I changed the way I was doing healing because of that, and realizing, you know, that when you're sending that energy to someone else, you're sending a part of yourself with it. And so this is all making sense, you know, as far as what I know of healing also. And I'm thinking of all the people that have been in the projector room and have interacted with other beings, and they didn't know who they were, you know, and they would describe them, and I'd say, well, you know, that sounds to me like Andromedan, or that one sounds like Arcturian. Some people see, some people hear. My friend hears pretty well, and I see some, you know, and she sees some. So between the two of us, we usually figure it out. And let me tell you, there was a lot of excitement the other day when we took all the projectors down, and I'm not sure if it was an Arcturian or an Andromedan that was standing there going, what the heck, what's going on? And we were going, well, we had to leave, you know, so now we're going mobile. But interesting, you know, as to how they come through there. You know, like I actually saw one come through that Stargate and like leaping and just leapt out in front of me and landed on his feet and then stood up, and he was about 5'8", and he was kind of like, the best I can describe it is like looking into space with like a light blue aura around.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, that definitely sounds like the Arcturians, because they love to use the energy of the blue. And I want to say a little bit about healing, because the ideas that they have given to me are focused on the holographic healing, and they have a holographic healing chamber. And what we do is we work with people to project themselves astrally to the holographic healing chamber. Mm. And there's a couple of other spiritual exercises that are really beautiful that sounds like they would fit right in with your holographic projector. And one of the ideas of the holographic healing is that you could project an aspect of yourself, of your astral self, to a higher plane, and then on that higher plane, you have to understand, which I think you do, that your astral self has the imprints of all the impurities that you've experienced in the third dimension.
Mm-hmm.
So we take that higher, that astral self, and then we work with the impurities and rearrange the energies, the imprints that are on your astral field, and through various techniques. And one technique is through a spinning technique. Another technique is through going through a place called the Crystal Temple, where there's high crystal energy. And another place is going through a holographic healing chamber, where you could use the different levels of self. Okay, then when that is completed, the imprints are shifted, so that your astral self now is in a different energetic pattern, and then you re-enter your physical body using special alignment technology, and then that alignment and then that re-entry, it's like osmosis. It begins to integrate and seep into your physical body, and so that's one concept of a healing that they use with us. So there's other concepts that I could go into using different technology, but maybe it's too much information too fast. I don't know.
Well, one thing I wanted to make sure that we got to is about the event that you're having October 5th, 6th, and 7th. Why don't you go ahead and announce that? That's the 13th Annual Arcturian Conference in Sedona. And just talk a little bit about that so people have that information if they'd like to attend that.
Right. Well, one of my missions has been to, you know, try to promote this technology and this information. And every year I have an annual meeting in Sedona, and this is the 13th one I've had, and it's going to be at the Sedona Creative Life Center, and it's on October 5th, 6th, and 7th. And if anyone's interested, they could either call me directly, My phone number is 928-776-1717, and they'll leave information on my answer machine, and I'll call you back with it. Or they could go to my website, at cybertrails.com/group of 40. And you also could just Google cybertrails, and I think I'm the fourth hit mm-hmm. under the concept of cybertrails. So my wife is going to be giving a talk on some of the visionary art, and then I'm going to be giving updated information on biorelativity. And my mission is focusing on traveling around the world, activating what we call etheric crystals, which are crystals from the higher dimensions that are coming into the planet through the Arcturians. And to that end, I'm going to be in New Zealand and also in Australia during the next 3 weeks to work with the group of 40 members there. Because remember, we have group of 40 members all over the planet. So many people are resonating with the Arcturian energy now. And I think many people are realizing that we need a fifth-dimensional intervention mm-hmm. to really correct the many impurities in our biosphere.
Yeah, I would say so. And I find this all fascinating also because I've had a lot of contact with Arcturian star seeds, and I may be one myself. But I've had lots of contact, you know, throughout my life. So a lot of what you're saying is really ringing some chimes for me. And having seen these beings, you know, jumping into my room, and I mean, I saw that with my physical eyes. You know, saw a creature just come like streaking from that light and poof, you know, landed right in front of me, and I went, wow.
Well, I want to say that, you know, many people have asked me about seeing certain beings and whether or not they're high beings or not. Mm-hmm. And I said, look, if you at all feel fear or you feel creepy or something, they're not higher beings.
Right.
So, you know, don't work with them. And, you know, if the Arcturians acknowledge the energy of the Christ light, mm-hmm. and, you know, if you are experiencing any higher being and you're not sure and you say, well, ask the beings if they honor the Christ light, then if they say yes or fine, if they say, well, we're not answering that, then don't work with them. So,
right,
you know, the fact that they jumped out at you and you feeling elevated and higher consciousness, this is, you know, a sign of that. And remember, each of us has a different way of interacting with higher dimensions. So
sure.
it's really beautiful that you could do it through your projectors and working with the holographic energies.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the information that they are communicating through me comes through tones and sounds, because I'm a channel that works with certain sound vibrations.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it sounds like you're a channel that could work with the imagery. And I know there's a great deal of work on sacred geometry and et cetera, which also is working with our subconscious mm-hmm. to open up avenues for newer codes and newer information.
Oh, yeah. I've been working with a lot of different things in the projector room. I'm using Dr. Fred Bell's holographic projectors, which are quantum physics devices. But what I'm also using is quite a few other people's sacred geometry things. And I'm finding that that by adding the layers, it really increased the energy. And, I mean, some people that are very sensitive have a hard time staying in their body at all. I had one guy that walked into the room and said, I have to leave, I'm going to vomit. I'm like, what? Why?
Yeah, that's true. Because, in other words, their physical body is not attuned yet.
Right.
And the Arcturians have told me this, that you have to imagine that when we were all born, and I don't know how old you are, but I was born in 1946, and so I'm 61. When I was born and raised, in Cleveland, Ohio, by the way,
mm-hmm.
I was not trained to be a star seed. I wasn't trained to do this kind of work. You know, I was trained to have a totally different life, and I'm still struggling
sure.
personally with trying to accommodate my energy with this, because
mm-hmm.
you know, I this is a totally different. But
well, I've always been odd, David. So
so you don't have to
my parents thought I was crazy. I think my mom still thinks that. But
so I tried to be normal for a long time, and I still try to keep myself normal in a certain way.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, but anyway, well, that's a whole other lecture. But
yeah,
but the idea is that you know we were not trained to be spiritual masters. And the Arcturians have talked about, well, how they work with people at a very young age, and then they, how they train them in meditation and how they mm-hmm. train them in different types of energy work. You know, and I didn't start coming into this work until I was about 38 or 40.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been interested in mysticism since I was 14 or 15, but didn't really start studying the Kabbalah until maybe the late, was my early 30s. And by the way, I want to mention one thing about the Kabbalah, because we spent a lot of time with the Arcturians, but the Kabbalah has much to say about channeling, believe it or not, because many of the rabbis were channels.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, you know, many people might be surprised to find this, but they had a very unusual technique for channeling, which I think is kind of strange, but maybe what we do is considered strange now from another era. They used to go to the graves of their masters
mm-hmm.
and prostrate themselves on the grave to connect with their spirits and bring through information from them.
Ew.
Yeah. That's kind of weird, isn't it?
It's beyond weird, you know, from what I know of spiritual connection. You know, the true master is not going to stay by their body anyway.
Well, I guess the only thing I could say is that they were all living, many of them were living in Jerusalem, and I guess they all were, you know, very close to, you know, the city and the gravestones. But they wrote, some of these rabbis wrote books based on this, and then some of them believe they channeled the Shekhinah, which is the divine presence.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm talking about the Arcturians and the Sacred Triangle, I'm also very open to people understanding that this just isn't the galactic spirituality. It's also the native spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm working now with Chief White Eagle, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people say, well, how could you be channeling Chief White Eagle? I mean, you know, I'm not Native American, you know, and I'm Jewish and this
yeah,
and that.
Yeah, but you might have been in another lifetime.
Yeah.
Or in a simultaneous lifetime.
Well,
you might be Chief White Eagle.
Pardon?
You might be
yeah.
Chief White Eagle. I mean, everything's happening all at once anyway.
Yeah. Well, the strange thing is that there's the Chief White Eagle Society. I don't know if you knew that.
Mm-hmm.
And the one woman began channeling Chief White Eagle from England.
Mm-hmm.
And then she brought the society over here, and they have a home base in Texas. And I started reading about them, but there was nothing about Native American spirituality, nothing about Native American spirituality. It was Chief White Eagle talking about Jesus and the Christ consciousness, which of course he does. But I started relating to the Chief White Eagle as an ascended Native American master.
Mm-hmm.
I want to emphasize that, ascended Native American master. And I did a channeling of him, and that, many years ago, when a woman came up to me afterwards and said, David, there's no ascended Native American masters. What are you doing? And I looked at her in shock.
Mm-hmm.
I said, how could you say that? Because, of course, there are many Native American descended masters around.
Well, yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah, especially here we are in Arizona. So they have the talking circle. They have the Native Americans and the descended Native American masters are very comfortable in telepathic communication with Mother Earth and communicating with her. So this is natural. This is now, I've since learned that it's broadened to include Native peoples, including the Aboriginal peoples in Australia, who are able to hold energies. But being close to Arizona, I've always was interested in the Hopis, and many people have told me that the Hopis are supposedly holding certain keys of energy
mm-hmm.
for this planet. But the information I have, and I think most people may agree with me, they are not strong enough to hold this energy anymore.
Mm.
And so we are coming to a time where I know many people will say, well, the Native peoples are protecting their spirituality. But I'm going to say, look, there's a lot of information about the Kabbalah and about ancient Hebrew, and I think it's time to share it. And I will not hesitate to share any of the sacred knowledge I have
mm-hmm.
access to, because we don't have a lot of time left.
Totally agree.
Yeah, and it's the same way with the Native energies.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to work together. So we're not trying to steal their energy, we're trying to unite their energy
right.
in the sacred triangle. And some of the Native peoples I work with acknowledge that they are part of the star family.
Mm-hmm.
In particular, like I found the Lakota, many of them felt that they came from the Pleiades, for
mm-hmm.
example.
Yes. Yeah, and the Pleiadians are very, very close to nature.
Mm-hmm.
And as are the Andromedans. Yeah, I mean, all this stuff has to come together. It's really the oneness thing. And, you know, we have to get beyond all of these separate things And I look back at some of the things that I have learned from my teachers throughout the years. One of the things they said about Native Americans is that, you know, the people who have incarnated into the Native American lifetime during this generation or so are actually the ones who had the karma to be there because they were the soldiers who were killing them off. Now, I have asked a couple Native Americans that, some that were, like, you know, on the fringes, white people that really heavily identified with them and you know, hung out with the tribes and stuff, and they vehemently deny that. But if you talk to a lot of the Native American elders and medicine people, they'll tell you, oh, yes, you know, this is their karma, and they have to come back. So I look at all that, and I think any time I see separatism and anybody trying to lord it over somebody else, those people are not where they think they are. You know, we have to come together as one, and any way that we're willing to do that is what's necessary. You know, and some people are not going to be ready to talk about Arcturians.
Well, right. Again, they said, look, not everybody's going to be on all three sides of the sacred triangle.
Right.
So maybe people are only going to be on one side.
Sure.
But I wanted to say, but there is a very interesting concept that the Arcturians and the Native American Ascended Masters are working together, and this is based on a beautiful concept called the Kachinas. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know how many people understand what the Kachinas are, but they're intermediary spirits that are used by the Navajo and the Hopi. And basically, to communicate in the spirit world, they have intermediaries.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like the corn kachina, and I mean, there's different, many different kachinas.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually build little replica dolls. They're very beautiful kachina dolls, and they're sold in a lot of tourist places in Arizona.
Yeah, there's one that I was attracted to when I first came here. It's called Chasing Star. And it was really difficult to find out about that one, but that's basically kind of like it's their version of an ascended master or of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, basically the one who captures or rescues the lost souls and brings them along. And so and I have to tell you too, when you go out in the wilderness here in Arizona, like up around Payson or whatever, for the people that go to dig crystals, you have to have a little meeting with the Kachinas when you get there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, they won't allow you to go on. It's really interesting.
Well, and so what I'm trying to explain is that the Arcturians, through Chief White Eagle, have introduced a new Kachina called the Galactic Kachina.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a woman, female Kachina energy, and she was brought down with the Arcturians and the Chief White Eagle at the San Francisco Peaks here in near Flagstaff. I'm in Prescott. And in Flagstaff, Arizona, and it was a welcoming in of the energy of 2012 and welcoming the energy of the newer central sun energy.
Mm.
And in my last workshop in Mount Shasta, the Galactic Kachina was also bi-located to Mount Shasta. And so this energy of the Galactic Kachina is now in both places, but it's especially in Mount Shasta because Mount Shasta has a link with the central sun, and the central sun is like the central creative spiritual force of our galaxy, which I hope many of your listeners know is going to come into a special alignment that has been predicted by the Mayans on December 2012,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, it's a fantastic alignment, but you know, the distances we're talking about from our solar system to the central sun of the center of the galaxy are so phenomenal that, you know, I don't think any of us can conceive of it. But you could, if you could just even visualize that we're coming into that alignment. But the fact is that we're close to that alignment now because even though it's maybe 5 years away, we're on the cusp of getting the energy of it. So this is an example of how the integration of the Ascended Native American Masters are working with the Arcturian Starseeds, bringing through the Galactic Kachina.
Mm. Yeah, that's an important thing. I guess the best way that I could get the listeners to understand that a little bit better would be to say, you know, that's your best chance for ascension. You know, when all that alignment clicks in, you know, you've already made your choice of what you're going to do. me, I'm out of here.
Well, and when we talk about the ascension, I don't know how much time we have. If there's any people who want to ask questions, you might want to mention that.
Yeah, they'll call in when they're ready to ask a question.
Oh, okay.
So listeners, do call in if you have some questions for David.
But
we've
basically,
got about 15 minutes.
You have to finish your karma. Mm-hmm. And as best you can, learn as many life lessons as you need to, and cut the cords of attachment to the earth. Mm-hmm. And those are the basic requirements. And then activate yourself and the ascension codes within you to unify. That's kind of the personal work that's involved in the ascension.
Yeah, there's always that darn work to do, you know?
Well, you know, many people say, I'm ready to go, and then you say, okay, but we're in accelerated time,
mm-hmm.
and so you can do all this life work, and they go, yeah, but then when you come up to it, and it's hard, and some people are having a lot of physical problems now,
mm-hmm.
and as a healer, I'm sure you understand, I see a lot of people with fibromyalgia, with, undiagnosed, discomfort, allergies, and I want to just say something, because I know you're really, a great healer, that a lot of the healing now has to be focused on our immune systems, because our immune systems, the doctors have told me, are tremendously compromised. And they have talked a lot about radiation and nuclear radiation, and I'm always thinking, well, mm-hmm. there's not a lot of nuclear radiation where I am, but it's all over the planet.
Yeah, it's everywhere. One of the things I did in my study on the holographic chamber is I had a hypothesis that we all have background radiation much higher than it should be, and that was proven. Most people hang out between about 5 and 7 millirads, and that's a little hefty to be carrying around all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're getting dosed with all kinds of radiation constantly. Microwave is probably the thing that we get the worst. The nuclear radiation is a little bit differently, but we also get the cosmic radiation. So anybody who flies a lot, pilots, flight attendants, things like that, those are the people that start having their bodies break down a lot earlier because they're exposed more to the cosmic radiation. So there's all these things going on all the time. And there are different, plants that we can take that help with that, like foti and ginseng and things that are protective, iodine, things like that. But what I'm finding is, especially in Sedona, we have so many people that are striving to do all this spiritual stuff, and their bodies can't keep up. And I keep having to tell people, you need to bring all of your bodies along together, because if you don't, one or more of them are going to break down, and it'll put you down. It may kill you. And I know this because I've been through it myself, and I've seen quite a few people go through it. So I think that one of the things the Arcturians are doing now is, and along with the Pleiadians and the Andromedans, they're trying to get people to eat better and to realize that whatever we put into our mouths is important, because we're trying to change things in our body. The DNA is supposed to be changing. Our nervous systems are changing. There's so many things that are happening, and we're having to fight all of the pollution that's going on all around us, that, of course, the dark side has tried to heap more and more on us. So there's quite a few things going on. It's an exciting time on the planet,
Well, and also from the work I'm doing, that we can also be healing ourselves of all of this through connecting with our fifth dimensional body,
mm-hmm.
and to bring down energy from the fifth dimensional body. Because, we're not going to escape all this radiation. I mean, it's true that we could eat as best we can and mm-hmm. we could shield ourselves, but I mean, we're living in a very dense environment, and we're not living in a perfect world here. So the other way is to work with the fifth dimensional energy. And if I may, I know we don't have a lot of time left. I wanted to use one sacred Hebrew tone.
Oh, great.
I'll explain the meaning of the tone. And because a lot of times, if you just hear the right vibration, that could be enough to activate your immune system, to accelerate it, to break through the crystalline blocks, so that you could go get yourself into better healing space. Now, this particular Kabbalistic healing phrase, it means, please God, heal her now.
Mm.
And it was actually taken out of the Old Testament, where Moses was confronted with his sister Miriam, who had leprosy, And he turned, and I don't know if he looked up or whatever, and he said, please, God, heal her now. And she was immediately healed.
Mm-hmm.
So it has a special significance. And in the Kabbalah and in all the tone work I'm doing with Arcturians, it's obviously the intonation of the words and also the intention. So if anybody's listening to this, you know, just think of the tone and think of wanting to be healed, and you might actually find yourself healed from this. And I will say this, I will actually chant it three times.
Okay, listeners, get ready.
Okay.
Okay. Wow, that was really powerful, David. I think the listeners should have definitely felt that.
Well, there's a lot of different other tones beside this, but I just wanted to give one example of a healing technique that mm-hmm. could change their ability to integrate and hold some of this energy. Because awesome. the guides have told me a lot about the sound healing and sound vibration.
Oh, yeah, I totally believe in that. I have a friend who's a Cherokee sound medicine healer, and I've been privileged to be present when one of the Hawaiian medicine men was, Kahuna, was doing a introduction to a weekend with psychic children. And boy, I'll tell you what, whew, it really links up your energy quick.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that's nice about it is that this show is archived. So people will be able to go back to that and to play it over. We have like about 1 minute left, so I just wanted to remind people that David is having the 13th annual Arcturian Conference in Sedona at the Sedona Creative Life Center, and that's October 5th, 6th, and 7th. And please do give him a call, and the number is 928-776-1717, or you can go online to cybertrails.com/group of 40, and 40 is spelled out. And David, thank you so much for what you've shared tonight, and I really hope that people take this to heart and show up at your conference. This is amazing stuff, and we all need to know it. So thank you so much for being on, and I'll have to have you on again to talk about some more of this.
Okay, very good, and let the healing light come to you also, Dr. Valerie, and I appreciate all the work that you're doing, and thank you for this opportunity. So blessings to you also and to your listeners.
Oh, thank you, and blessings to you likewise. And listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. And as always, be happy, be healthy, and be who you really are. Nighty-night.